for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised.
Loveline with Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Drew, what's going on? Don't be sipping off your coffee the second you're going to talk, buddy. Come on, jump in.
I'm not
what
talking.
Do you got for me?
I got nothing. What
you
are
got
you
nothing?
Talking about?
What's going on?
Nothing, really. Nothing. What's up with you?
No, nothing on your chest? Nothing you want to get off there?
No.
No?
Just listening to you talk about your house.
Mm-hmm. It's good.
Is
it's
there
good
something I should
you,
be getting on my chest?
I don't know. I don't know what you know. No thoughts, no feelings?
No. Yeah, well, okay, all right.
What's the matter?
I had kind of a funky day. I woke up, let's tell you the end of the story. I woke up in kind of a bad mood this morning, and I can't even explain why. I just was sort of depressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I wake up that way.
Right.
And I was doing my rounds this morning at the hospital, and I thought, oh, my God, I really just don't feel good. I need to just talk to a friend. I need to talk to somebody, get something, figure out what's going on here. And go, there's this one guy. This guy's number popped into my head. And I thought, oh, well, he's going to call today. A guy I have not talked to in 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, yeah, I'll talk to him. He's a psychiatrist friend of mine. I thought, oh, I'll talk to him. And 2 hours later, calls.
Really?
Yeah, his number, boom, on my beeper. And when you're totally convinced something's going to happen and it happens, it's like, yeah, I told you.
Yeah.
It's like you're not surprised. It's like, yeah.
Yeah.
It already happened in my head anyway.
Right.
That's strange.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, well, sort of. I mean, we're not going to make a movie about it or anything, but let's put it this way. I'm an atheist, and
yeah.
I'm not into all that astrology or numerology or any of that stuff. But we're talking in a microphone. It's traveling via an invisible wavelength into other people's radios and then coming out in the shape of our voice.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying?
My head just exploded.
All I'm saying is I wouldn't be too surprised if there's things that are just sort of buzzing around out there that you pick up or that he picks up that, I mean, why not? Mm. I mean, look, if I can say this to a microphone and some jack-off listener in Milwaukee can be sitting around in his bed and hearing what I'm saying in real time, why can't you, having a strong thought about somebody, somehow go out in the air and get picked up somewhere? I don't want to get all cosmic, but you know what I'm saying?
Right.
There's things out there.
Okay.
I don't think it's another power. I just think it's
us. Do you
us.
Ever think Martians are beaming thoughts into your head, or when the television news being broadcast, being directly to you, the broadcaster's talking to you?
No.
No.
But I do have a thought, shut up, about the fact that, we're humans, and we're sort of animals first,
yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
Civilized society second,
yeah.
And, you know, we cover everything up with a lot of perfume and kissing potion and bad framed glasses, but ultimately
I beg your pardon.
I know I was looking at you when I said that, but that's not what I meant. I was thinking my brother-in-law, the German guy.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do, crazy? What happened with the Germans? The Germans, like,
guilty.
One minute's like, hey, we must destroy all Jews and control Europe and the world, and the next minute is we got to get really funky shoes and really crazy rims on our glasses. That's they shifted? That's where they went?
Yeah, that's where it all went. The energy's got to go somewhere.
It didn't seem like a logical progression from destroy all Jews, control world, to got to get some funky frames. But that seems to be where every ounce of their energy is going these days. All right, anyway.
I heard Hitler talking about it just before he killed himself.
Here's my point. Maybe that was his last and greatest piece of work, that secret decree that went out, that all Germans get the crazy big duck-billed shoes and funky glasses that are always a little bit too small.
Yeah.
That's the whole thing.
A lot bit too small. Usually.
A lot bit
These
too small.
These are a little
small.
Bit too small.
And they're right there. They're right there. You have a narrow face and a slender face, so that's fine. But the sort of mini Andy Dick type glasses, I'm not sure what the point is with that. Okay,
it's
anyway,
aggression.
Here's my point. If radio waves, if there's many microwaves, there's many invisible waves that are floating around out there and then just get picked up by an antenna.
Yeah.
Everything. Why can't we create a few waves that get picked up?
I'm resisting answering that rhetorical question.
You know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
All right.
But there's reasons why the radio creates waves, and then the receiver that's constructed to pick it up picks it up.
I'm hip. I just mean,
there's things we don't understand.
We don't understand everything
there
about how the brain works.
That's right.
Think about how much more we know now than we knew 10 years ago.
I got to tell you something. In the last year, I've been getting really into brain research and brain mechanisms, and it's amazing. Fascinating.
It's in its infancy, though.
It's in its infancy, but we're starting to figure some stuff out.
All right, but think about the stuff we're going to know 50 years from now.
Yeah, crazy. In the last 3 years, stuff's just exploded.
All right, we may know things 50 years from now that we think is sort of science fiction or fantasy now that might turn out to be, a little more like what we're talking about. All right, but good times.
There we go.
Good times.
What kind of mood are you in to bring up all that crap?
You brought it up.
Okay. Francisco, 16.
Yeah, hello?
Hey.
I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Thanks.
You guys are so awesome, man. Great. Adam, you're like a god to us.
Yeah, us.
Us.
It's like a group of us that kind of listen to Loveline.
Yeah. They're called disciples. Oh. Thank you. Speaking of vomit, David Alan Greer.
Speaking of prophets.
Otherwise known as Dag, otherwise known as my main man in here tomorrow night.
Guy's a genius.
Yes, he is.
I have a question about condoms. Is there a difference between a cheaper brand of condoms and like a more expensive brand, or
here's the
yes, the price. Okay.
What's the weather out there in Riverside?
Anyway,
as with anything else in our culture, you pretty much get what you pay for. So you got to kind of keep that in mind. The thing to watch.
Let me say this. Yeah, well, you get what you pay for when you're talking about a car or something. But a condom has to have sort of a minimum quality or failure.
Who
point.
Says?
I don't know. I would imagine that the CDC or the FDA or the whoever or consumer whatever the consumer control groups are. I mean, I would imagine a condom is almost a medical device, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't think the FDA controls. I don't know this, but I don't think
they do. It must be tested.
Well, they are tested, and they get rated, but I don't think they'll get taken away if they don't reach a certain rating. I don't know that.
Well, then, put it this way. There must be some liability with condom.
You would think so. The colored ones, apparently, are really bad.
Okay, Drew, now stop it.
I'm sorry, Adam.
You're being racist now. You really are.
I mean, the tutti frutti colors, the funky colors.
Oh, I see. And okay.
Clearly those are not as good. And generally, you want to stay with the brand names. They stand by their products.
All right.
Okay.
All right. I live in Hickville, and always got to be careful about that kind of stuff.
Yeah. No, you don't. Even Hickville has Trojan condoms and other brand names.
Yeah. I don't know if anywhere it doesn't have Trojan.
Hey, let me ask you this there, Drew.
Yeah.
Has there ever been a case where someone has sued a condom manufacturer?
We're way outside of my fund of knowledge. So I don't know. I'll look it up during the break.
Way outside. You've been the spokesman for...
No, I don't know if anybody sued them, though. I don't know.
Well, look, you got to look into these companies before you get involved with them, sell them your name, your good name. It would seem that if a condom broke and you could prove that if the condom was used correctly and that it was faulty and that somebody got pregnant, it just feels like there might be a little compensation there.
Yeah.
Michelle? That's all I need to hear. Daniel?
What's up, man?
You're 20?
Yeah, 20 years old.
All right, what's happening?
I got a question. Okay, let's say on a routine basis when my girl and I are having sex, it's pretty routinely that, I'll get off right before she does.
On a routine basis? Not on a special occasion?
No, right. I mean, pretty much.
Every time?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Every time.
Got it.
Yeah.
We've been together for about a year now, and she's been on the pill, the whole time we've been together, and I still use condoms. Is it safe for me to finish the job, even though I've already gotten off with the condom on?
And she's on the pill?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the condom is an unnecessary, extra safe
exactly,
technique.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you don't have to worry about it functioning perfectly because the pill is an excellent birth control by itself.
Well, it's like using a pothole holder and an oven mitten.
Together.
It couldn't hurt, but it's sort of unnecessary.
Yeah, I'm going the extra mile here.
Jeez, my daughter is a huge Elvis fan all of a sudden. She wants to go to Memphis, where Daniel's from.
Really?
And visit.
How's your daughter getting Elvis?
I don't know. It's weird.
How's this work? Is it people at school playing?
I don't know. She wants to go to Graceland. She wants to go.
Now your wife's going to hit me up. The kids want to go to Graceland. You want to donate? They're going ice skating.
No.
There's no ice skating over there, is there?
No.
Oh, my God. It's the worst thing that ever happened to me. It's Drew's daughter got into ice skating. His wife's become one of those ice skating moms. Holy Christ. I'm an expert in ice skating now.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
That's nice. That's the last field you needed to sort of be expert in everything.
Ice dancing. Yeah, found out how much the skates cost and how often he got it. Drew's head almost exploded when he found out how much the skates cost. Katie?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yeah.
You watch your wife of yours. She's going to give the girl a eating disorder with all that pressure about the ice skating.
Yeah.
Yeah. Katie?
Yeah?
Go ahead.
Okay, Drew, yesterday, didn't you say you were coming to Indiana?
I am.
Okay, when and where? Because I want to see you.
I'm going to Muncie, like, March 9th or something. There's a university in Muncie?
Oh, yeah, I live right by there.
Well, there you go.
And right next to that is a Winston Tire outlet. Drew will be there. He will be signing tires with the chalk stick. And what are they paying you, $18 to head out there, Drew?
An hour.
Heading out to Muncie.
Yep, that's the first week or so in March. Okay, Katie?
Okay.
The University of Indiana.
There. Is it all ages?
Probably.
All right. Go out and see Drew and Muncie.
Okay.
All right, baby doll. Good times. Yeah. You don't hear about Muncie anymore.
What is the rhythm problem tonight?
Tough rhythm. Do you hear about Muncie anymore?
No. I was shocked that I was going there.
Didn't you used to hear about Muncie?
Why? Yes.
I don't know. There's an NFL guy named Chuck Muncie.
Maybe that was it.
Maybe there was a famous something or two from Muncie. I don't know. Maybe stuff gets popular, like Kalamazoo.
It's near Indianapolis, I think. That's an hour away from there.
Yeah. Muncie made
was there a car
mixed transmissions?
Yeah.
Muncie makes transmissions. I don't know. I used to hear more about Muncie. Now I don't hear it anymore. Yeah. Let's get Muncie back on the map. Yes, Drew?
Same with Gary, Indiana, too.
Brian?
Hello?
What's happening?
Oh, hey. You probably hear this all the time, Adam, but, like, seriously. All right.
What did he say?
He said, but seriously. And then he sort of coughed or gasped. Like, I wasn't sure what that was.
Liar, whore.
Brian?
Hello? Oh, yeah. I have asthma. I just took my inhaler.
Oh, okay. Well, don't do it. Gas. Were you complimenting me? And you
got short of breath.
Yeah, but don't hit on the inhaler right in the middle of a compliment.
I'm sorry. It was one of those, like, life or death things. You know how it goes.
You remind me of the kid on...
I'm just saying, spit the compliment out before you hit the ground. That's all.
What's the kid on...
Oh, Drew. You don't know.
I can't think tonight.
Brian?
Yeah?
All right. What's up?
Okay. Like for the past couple of months, I've been getting, like, sharp pains in my testicles. Just, like, during the day.
What about his testicles?
Oh.
It's sharp pain twice a day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hearing okay. I'm just not producing language.
Right.
And
I was just wondering what that was, if I should, like, do anything for it.
And it's just a fleeting pain all of a sudden?
Well, like, sharp, like.
Do you wear a sort of a support, like jockey underwear, or do you wear boxers?
Boxers.
So, believe it or not, the jockey will kind of help give us a little more support to lymphatic drainage.
What is it? These kids got to be so cool with the boxers.
Yeah.
The boxers.
Shorts over shorts.
It really does. It feels like you pulled up some old-time gym shorts, the ones we used to wear that were short in the 70s. Like, you pulled some gym shorts on under your jeans. It's like there's a whole different there's a fault line. It's like two plates. It's like two of the Earth's plates coming together, and there's always some movement there. You know what I mean? Like
not a movement, bunching.
There's bunching, but it drifts one way and then slides another. Then the fly hole pops open. Your penis pops out. I don't know what's weird about. I don't even know how your penis knows it's out. But there's like you know how you know your fingers down your throat when you're trying to make yourself vomit. That's how my penis knows when it's out of the underpants fly, even if it's wide open and there's nothing around. It's weird. You got to do that weird pullback thing where you try to grab a little pant. Man,
the embarrassed penis.
No, you do that thing where you grab some underpant and some pant and you try to
lift
sort of slide your penis back into your ass. Like you just pull it, like if it was a pool cue and you were going to break, it'd be the pool. It'd be the back pull.
Yep.
That's the movement.
Yep.
Try to get it back in there. And it starts bunching up. Always one leg down around the knee and the other one bunched up and going up your ass. Mm-hmm. How cool do you, I don't understand. Is that so you don't get S on your pants?
I guess.
Is
that, that funk, that ball funk.
Is it a hygiene thing? Is that, I mean,
really.
My point is don't bother wearing underpants if you're going to wear the big boxers. Yeah.
And you should get this checked out, Brian. It doesn't mean anything specific, but it is an unusual symptom. So
I think it's a cool guy thing.
It's something you could have a epididymal inflammation. You could have torsion, that sort of thing.
Isn't the boxer just a cool guy?
Not only is it cool, but they have to show it. Half of it must be
hang out
presented.
The back of the pants.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Well, no.
Cool.
They have the pants must go like pubic level.
Yeah, and then and the boxers hang out the top. Yeah. And actually, you guys are missing because you got the baggy shorts. But back in the day when the shorts were lower, you'd have the boxers hanging out the bottom of the shorts and the top.
That was the cool thing.
So you had 2 foot worth of boxer and 9 inches worth of shorts over it. It was a great look. It, 11 inches of boxer hanging over the waistband and then 14 down below where the short shorts were cut off.
Well, that was cool. That'll come back. That'll be back, I predict.
I hope that one comes
back. Let's keep
back.
The underwear discussion going here. Take line 3.
The boxer briefs, the way to go. If you got 28 bucks to spend on a pair of underpants.
Eddie, 20.
Yeah, hello. Can
What's
hear?
Up?
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a question about penis size.
Go ahead.
All right. Oh, anyways, I'm 4 inches and I'm 20 years old, and I wanted to know if I can go any larger, and if me wearing briefs throughout, you know, puberty, adolescence, and everything had anything to do with being that small.
No,
the brief is a good thing. It improves the drainage, that whole lymphatic drainage.
The brief, how's the brief help? Doesn't do anything.
What would you recommend? How getting larger?
Do you have normal hair distribution?
Normal
hair under your arms and
No. I don't have any hair. I have very little hair on my underarms.
How about your pubic area?
A little bit on my testicles and up.
All right. You should see an endocrinologist. There may be something going on biologically with you.
Well, when I ejaculate, I don't feel anything. I don't know if that's from jerking off too much or I don't know.
How tall are you?
I'm a 5'6".
How often do you masturbate?
About 3 or 4 or 5 times a day.
3 or 4 or 5 times a day.
Well, it depends how, you know, horny I am that day.
If you don't feel anything, why do you do it?
Yeah, 5 times, quite a bit for no feeling.
Well, I mean, I can finally, there's sometimes I get it, but it comes and goes, you know. I'll ejaculate, but I won't feel anything.
Random reinforcement.
Right. So you get a nice sensation one every like 28 times you beat off. That's enough to keep you going until you're 100.
Has been doubling down.
Right.
Chasing it.
That's elusive.
I guess my
the lottery.
You would go crazy, I'd imagine.
Oh,
I mean, you'd lose your mind.
My main concern is, am I supposed to feel something exactly when I ejaculate?
Yes, you are supposed to feel something. It sounds like there is something biological going on. Your secondary sex characteristics aren't exactly normal. The orgasmic function sounds a little funny. Your size of genitalia is a little on the outside of the normal bell curve. So, definitely see an endocrinologist.
Okay, well, and what could they do? Prescribe medicine? Or
it depends. Depends what the problem is, whether there's something genetically going on or something endocrinologically. Yes, sometimes they can prescribe hormones to make things move along.
All right, but good times, though, right?
Okay. Thank you.
He's calling from Texas. I'm thinking not everything's big in Texas.
Not everything.
Let me say this, Drew. A bit of philosophy here. You know, one of my pet peeves is that everyone thinks not only... Well, it's two things. We're thinking like natives. Not only we got to buy workout books from models so we can look like them. You know, we think that, they look this way. What is their secret?
Yes.
It must be a secret.
It's almost like monkey see, monkey do.
She's 21. She's slamming heroin. She dropped out of school at 14 to F Arab guys in France. What is her secret? What's the secret? She's doing a lot of coke and pretty much lives off breakfast cereal. Well, what's her secret? What is the secret, Drew? Could it be just good genes? What's the secret? Where'd you get those blue eyes and that big cleft in your chin? I got to get one, too. Why don't you write a book about that? See if I can get that cleft.
How to
get a cleft in your chin? How to get your teeth so straight? What is your secret? So not only do we have that what is your secret, but we also have the opposite side of that, was my penis is small.
What's wrong?
What's wrong? Yeah. What I do to myself.
Yeah, yeah.
See,
yeah.
Use the logic.
Well, cancer, they do that all the time. People do that.
That's all they do. That's all I do.
I have cancer. How did that happen? What made that happen to me? It's like, yeah.
Let's say I used the microwave. I must have been it. I used to eat a lot of Hot Pockets.
People cannot accept that they're biological. They cannot accept that biological events happen randomly.
And they can't accept that you basically you get a hand dealt to you. You get eyes a certain color. Your hair falls out at a certain time. Your calf muscles are either big or small. You have it. Your teeth are either straight or crooked.
Can you see here now a role for religion?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. No, I mean, this is all it is. It's like your teeth.
Yeah.
You know, people are like, hey, I've never got a cavity in my life. What's your secret? Nothing. I do the same thing you do.
Mm-hmm.
It's just I never got a cavity in my life. You know? I got the goddamn dentist. And by the way, this is why I want a backhand dentist. Because like, oh, no, you got to start your regular cleanings. You got to start flossing. You start doing all that crap. You go to the dentist once a year. You got two cavities. It's what? What is it?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, what can we control? It's really not much. So the thing is, you know, well, I got a small penis. Well, what'd I do?
Right.
I must have done something.
Right. I wore the wrong kind of pants.
Well, using your logic, which is I can just buy the model's workout tape and look like the model.
Right.
If something's wrong with me, then, it must be the wrong underpants.
Yeah. Or I didn't follow follow her instructions properly.
Right.
Except when people actually need to follow directions.
Now, there are things they can do. Like not smoke as much weed.
They ain't interested in following directions.
Not interested in that.
Yeah.
They're not interested in the sort of betterment stuff that actually is about betterment.
Right.
That part, not that interesting.
Reading more, go to school more.
Ooh,
no.
Yeah. Come on, buddy. Why you got to go there?
That's harsh even for you, huh?
What? Even?
Yeah.
I ain't into that crap.
What I'm talking about.
No. Drew, I'm going to read your book soon, though. I'll tell you that
right someday.
Now. Yeah, someday. Read that book.
6 months. It's good.
I'm going to read that book.
I'll hold my breath.
Please do. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. David Alan Greer. Dag, my main man, tomorrow night. Drew, really, you gotta fly.
Yeah.
Can't
sorry.
Just set it.
Yeah.
No, can't do
that was bad judgment.
Oh, Drew. Nice. All right, Drew's a little tired tonight. A little tired as well.
Are you?
Yeah. I've been getting up. Getting up early, I've been running around a lot.
Mm.
A lot of phone calls. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Moving and shaking.
Your career or your house?
House.
That's what I figured. You're going to be talking about anything else.
I'm not worried about my career, Drew. That's all going to fall into place.
I see.
You don't have to worry about that.
Itself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's good times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I haven't been on TV in a while.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I like it. Yeah. I ain't like these other celebrities trying to have a career.
No, I know.
Not the ace man. Monica?
Yes?
You're 25?
Yes, I am.
What's happening?
Nothing much. Just driving home, listening to you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that Dr. Drew's daughter was into Elvis.
Yep.
And I was wondering if she's seen Lilo and Stitch.
Oh, yeah. And she's got the soundtrack, and she's already skated to it.
I was wondering if that's where she got the Elvis from.
No. Well before that. I don't know where it came from.
Somebody at the ice, some other chick at the ice rink or something was probably dancing to it.
Or something, yeah.
Huh.
That's great. I'll fill her in on the real Elvis one day soon.
Oh, I've been trying to.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yeah.
All right, that's good. Burst her bubble.
Yeah.
Yeah. What's you gotta get her into like a Scott Weiland or something like that, you know, a real role model. Yeah, Monica, is that it?
That's it. I just want to say that I've been listening to you guys for gosh, like almost 10 years now, and off. I know I started when I was 15, 16.
Mm. I feel like you know you now.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we just moved here to LA, so I listen to you guys on K-Rock.
Mm-hmm.
Where'd you move from?
Fresno, California.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I heard that.
My husband got transferred out here, so I'm out in Beverly Hills, and it's just so much better.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's transferred. Thanks for calling, by the way. Transferred means either you got a really good job or a really crappy job.
Mm. It's never nothing.
Yeah, you don't get transferred to just sort of have a gig.
You're either moving up or out.
Yeah, and what I'm saying is the military could transfer you to Biloxi, and that's bad.
Yeah.
Or IBM could transfer you over to the corporate office in Denver or something. With the corner office. Mm-hmm. It's transfers. It's a bad thing or it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's never a medium thing. Mm-hmm. It's rarely a push.
That's right.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely.
You ever been transferred?
No.
No, me neither.
What does that mean?
I never had a job that I always work construction. There's no transferring. The transfer was like, hey, throw some Mexicans in the back of your truck and drop them off down on the Wilshire job. And then when you're there, pick up some 2x4s and bring them back. That was like as close as a transfer I ever got. It's a good time. So, yeah. Megan?
Yeah?
You're 20? What's up?
Not much. I was actually listening to you guys the other night, and you had a caller call in talking about wanting to get in a threesome with her husband, and she was younger
right.
than me.
Mm-hmm. Right, and we talked to her a little further and found out she came from foster care and had been horribly abused, and we picked up on that pretty quick, that she couldn't tolerate her relationship and needed to bring in another person to create some chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I have a longtime boyfriend. I'm 20. He's 23. The only reason we're not married right now is because he lives 2 hours away. He graduated from college before I did.
Mm-hmm.
And I still have another 2 years of college left. But bringing in a third person, actually a girl, is something that I've been very interested in for a while now. And we've been talking about it and seriously been looking for somebody.
Yeah. Well, because you want to have a lesbo experience. That's why.
Well, I actually did right before I met him.
There we go.
Did you like it?
Yeah, I did.
You did?
But it was a purely sexual level, you know?
Sure.
As opposed to what?
It was my first
religious,
college,
spiritual.
Actually, one of those silly things like that.
Right. All right. So
it was very enjoyable. It was something I was very interested in. But, I've kind of thought about it and everything, and I could never actually date a girl. I'm not interested in them like that.
I know, because they're nuts, those broads.
Well, just think about how crazy.
Now you should feel sorry for us. We got to date you guys.
No, I totally understand. It's tough. I could never date a girl. I would never be able to deal with someone like me. You know.
Yeah, but that's what I'm picking up on here. Somebody like you is a handful.
This is why guys like to hang out with guys and girls like to hang out with guys. Do the math. No one wants to hang out with the chicks. All right. So,
but listen,
yeah.
Okay, you were talking about how it was this need to destroy the relationship and get out of the relationship.
Well, you need drama. No, you're just a drama.
Well, but we talked about this last night, and I said two things: either you want to have a lesbian experience and you want to do it sort of within the friendly confines of a heterosexual relationship, or you want to sabotage.
But I think Megan's a little choice number three. She just wants drama.
That or what about a little section of A, B, and C? I mean, once the lesbian relationship, once the sabotage, once the drama.
But here's her thing. She's like, well, I love my boyfriend. We're getting married. The only reason I'm not married is he's away right now. But women, that'd be fine too. I could date some women right now. It's like, wait, which is it?
Yeah.
Well, no. The thing is, I couldn't ever date a woman, and it was a purely sexual thing. I'm a very sexual person.
Yeah.
Yeah. That you know,
there was a man of great passion himself. You know. Huh? You laugh, but it puts his victims in the hospital. Is that passionate? Candy striper skirts pulled up over their heads. It's tough. Very difficult. Man of great passion. Sometimes Megan, he's consumed with that passion. That's when people get hurt, quite frankly.
Consumed?
Yeah, well, you're consumed with that passion. Hey, Megan.
Mm-hmm.
You've been with this guy for how many years?
Year and a half now.
Oh, okay. I don't know. It's starting to feel like maybe it's run its course. Maybe this isn't the love of your life. You got hooked up. You're 18 or 19. A year and a half, by the way, year and a half relationship at 18 or 19 is a hell of a run.
And by the way, it's one thing to declare yourself as a very sexual person and then go on in your relationship and carry on.
Yeah.
It's a completely different thing when you announce it and then also include all sorts of acting out behaviors you're planning. Another person, another relationship, another, well, is that? That's nuts.
Mm-hmm.
That's not being liberated. That's not being exploratory.
I bet I can guess Megan's sign.
Really?
And yeah, I can. Megan.
Cancer.
Now, don't. I said I can. Okay, yeah. I said I can. I said I.
Okay.
Megan, don't tell me your sign. Okay?
Okay.
Unless I get it right, then it's important to say something. Either we'll keep going for hours.
All right, here we go.
Are you ready? Okay. Oh, come on, Drew. Pisces.
Mm-mm.
Sagittarius.
Nope.
Libra.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know it.
Yeah. I could tell. Because when you know why? Because I'm a very sexual person, too. And I knew Libra was because that's the sign of the leper. Who?
Oh, really?
Is very horny because no one will have sex with them.
I see. I see.
What is the Libra?
Scales.
Scales? Mm-hmm. Like scales on a reptile or actual scales?
Like scales of justice. Scales like...
Yeah. And it's not that, hey, listen, we got to start replacing these scales with the newer ones instead of these tip balance ones with the plate on it.
It's a digital readout.
Yeah. What are we, a bunch of 49ers? for F's sake, let's get some of the digital readout. And it even goes down to ounces. All right. So let's, Pisces, I knew it. Passionate.
Libra. Do you want to get
in Libra. That's get, what I said. She's Libra.
Get at what is going on with her?
No.
She's really...
I don't care.
All right.
Don't... You know, I say break up. I say you're
she's not an addict. Hmm. I don't know what she is. Not addict.
Jonathan?
Yes.
Gemini.
Close.
All right.
Whatever that means.
Leo.
Yes, Ashley.
Yeah. I knew it.
Good guess, Adam.
Thanks. All right. Said hey, close.
Well, I said Adam, you're a genius. Drew,
thanks, buddy boy.
Very passionate man.
Exquisitely passionate.
Yes. And if Bruce is there, he's kind of a spaz.
He is a spaz. A lovable spaz, Dr. Bruce. Go ahead.
All right. Well, I would like to know if you guys
can come. This is true. You're going to go to jail, buddy.
Yeah. Now listen, hold on a second. Listen, what
like Foster Brooks.
This is Dr. I know, but that's sometimes when you're overtaken with nerddom, you sound like you're intoxicated. Play that again, Anderson.
If this is true, you're going to go to jail, buddy.
You're going to jail.
Imagine him as your dad, like trying to discipline you, like in high school, and you're just laughing. Hey, Beanpole, get out of the way. Wait a minute. You can't take the car out of the way, Red. Yeah. He's good people.
He's got four daughters.
They're never going to listen to him.
Oof.
I just hit that Adam's apple, his dome. Right, go ahead, Jonathan.
All right. Well, I want to see if you guys can help me with a little relationship problem.
All right, go.
Okay. Okay. I have a very religious girlfriend. She actually has some health problems.
What's the problem?
And she's been pushing me kind of away.
What's her health problem?
I think I'm kind of getting the vibe that we might be kind of hitting the end.
Jonathan, are you listening?
Yes.
What is her health problem?
Okay, she doesn't like talking about it. What she has told me is it's a thing connected between her spinal cord and her brain, and she can she's actually supposed to be dead, and she can die actually any minute.
Whatever that is makes no sense.
Well, isn't the thing that connects your spinal cord and your brain your spinal cord?
Yes.
Okay, like when I knew I wanted to like call you guys about this, like I don't have enough information to actually like describe, and I knew this would come up. But she doesn't like talking about it. She's very sensitive about it.
Jonathan, it's when people have life-threatening illnesses, they won't spare you any detail. They know everything there is to know about it, and they can. They need to talk.
Right.
Talk about
and if they're Jewish, it could just be a head cult. I'm saying if she's a Jew, they won't. They'll spare you. They'll talk your ear off about a canker sore.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. And people got energy in that.
This doesn't make any sense at all. And the reason she's not talking about it is because it's probably nothing.
How long was she? When was she supposed to be dead?
From what she's told me, it's. Kind of each day, she is kind of like another day that she wasn't supposed to have. Like,
No way.
Wait a minute, Drew. How do you know?
Is just
where
not
is
legal?
She? Is she at home right now?
Probably in the dorms.
Then we should get her on the phone.
She gets severe migraines, and sometimes like she it gets in the way. Like, sometimes, like, plans that we have has to get canceled because of these, like, severe migraines that she has.
I wish you could see the thought balloon over my head, the thought bubble.
Well, look, if she's supposed to be dead or die any moment now, shouldn't she be near a hospital somewhere?
Or on pain
she
medicine?
She actually goes to the hospital about almost each month. And she's already had a spinal tap. In fact, she asked me if I would go with her to get another surgery.
Another
like
surgery?
If I could, like hold her hand or be with her. But lately, she's been kind of pushing me away.
Well, Drew, I've seen brain surgery done on the Science Channel. So it's always important to have a couple people in the room there. Yeah, this
oh, like the boyfriend stuff. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, especially when they're buzzing through the skull and everything, peeling the face off and everything.
You want your loved one there, of course.
Smart idea, though, if and when you do that, bring some magazines. Those things can last 20 minutes.
Barf bag.
They can last 20, 25 minutes sometimes.
Yeah, none of this is making sense. I don't want to call her a liar, and I don't want to say that there's...
No, but here's the thing. Jonathan is...
doesn't spare the details, though, does he?
Well, Jonathan's 20, and he's going on, like, 13.
Yeah.
Like, what's up with you? I don't think this is your girlfriend, by the way.
You don't?
No.
Hmm.
Have you had sex with her?
Okay, not sex.
Right. Hold on a second. Shocking! I am shocked!
Reenactment. Adam, Jonathan, have you had sex with her?
Well, now hold on. Well, there's a biblical sex, and, then there's sex that, you know, between two animals.
And there's
the cornholing variety. Okay. So he's a 20-year-old guy. He's got himself a girlfriend. How did I know? He was shocked at my temerity when I suggested that maybe this wasn't his girlfriend. But then how did I know?
Yeah.
Thank God not. Jonathan.
Yes.
Something's wrong here. Something's wrong with her physically.
Or something.
Something's up with her mentally and emotionally. And then something's wrong with you and the way you sort of perceive your meaning to her and your relationship and all that.
There is other slight details.
All right. Let's have them.
Okay. She had... I am the first guy that she dated. Like I said, she's pretty religious. She's kind of a hardcore Lutheran. And this is her first year in college, and I'm a sophomore. She left an ex-boyfriend that she broke up with.
Wait, I thought you were the first guy she dated.
Well, no, she had a boyfriend, but I'm the first.
She had
traditionally, she dated.
Traditionally.
Like, she knew him in high school. Like,
she had a boyfriend, but she never dated.
Oh, well, come on, that makes sense, Adam.
No, I know. She'd been married several times. She'd not dated. You understand,
okay,
Drew?
Yeah, okay.
And I know no matter what I say or how I somehow.
Well, all right, now hold on a second. Listen. Yes, it is part of my job here to give the callers S, as you say.
Don't hang up on Jonathan. We got to get to the bottom
of
it.
It's easier to give them S if they make no sense at all. There's huge
holes. Just not making sense. And,
yeah, well,
that's why you're making fun.
Well, Jonathan's the first guy. She's dated.
Except her boyfriend.
After a string of abusive relationships.
Did she have sex with the boyfriend? Please, I got to go for the boyfriend.
No, you're going to kill Jonathan. Jonathan?
Okay. Yeah. You asked me if she's ever had sex with a boyfriend? No, she hasn't. The farthest that she's gone with anybody else has just been salted from the outside, and we've practically done everything but sex, and I just think that she's gotten pretty scared about that.
All right. Well, she's on her deathbed, and one good working over by you could send her to a grave, right?
Yes.
Okay. Well, hang on a second there, buddy. I don't know. And Drew, I wish this existed when we were 19, 20, 21, where somebody could just walk up to you and you go, okay, well, hear me out. Yeah. I love her. Yeah. I got 19 months invested into the, the guy just go, no, it's over. It's done. You're done. Pulls out like a, a white glove that's been soaked in your semen and just pow, slaps you right across and then back again. Psh, psh, right there. Yeah. And you go, no, you don't understand. She's seeing somebody now, but they're going through some bad times. Ah! You're broken up. You're done. Get away. Go. Go find somebody else.
And then just boots you in the butt.
Just kick your ass.
Just boots. I needed that so badly when I was 19.
Right. Because think of your rap.
Oh.
She said one day that she could grow to love someone like me eventually. Like if I had a brother. So, and I've been into her since the ninth grade. So
she talked to me one time.
She, yeah.
And she seemed pretty upbeat about it. She liked it.
She has a wandering eye, and that the one wandering one, it saw my shoulder once, and so I'm into her. Yeah, don't you wish someone could just slap you in the face and tell you to get moving? Get moving. Hey, reality, get out of here.
It's like a hypnotist.
Yeah, wow. Right. And look, there's women out there who are freed up, who may be interested, who you have actual relationships with.
No, this one. This is the one.
We got
this is the one, I tell you.
We're taking a break. We'll get back with Jonathan, his bizarre story, after this. Huh? Ooh, we sure started?
Yeah.
What do you know? Hey, everybody. It's the Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Doc Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191.
I'm completely fascinated.
Love to hear from you tonight.
Fascinated by Jonathan. I want to know more.
Jonathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Right. I want to know about this illness that has no name,
Jonathan,
but is life-threatening.
Jonathan has himself a woman in college. They haven't done the dirty deed yet. Their boyfriend and girlfriend, though,
No, he's dating her.
Because
she's never dated before.
She said she's never dated before.
Had boyfriends.
Never dated. And she has a disease that's something to do with where her spine connects to her brain, and she could die. She should be dead. And by the way, let me ask you this, Drew. What percentage of people tell you they were clinically dead or should have been dead or pronounced dead or the doctors told them they'd be dead or the doctors made any kind of proclamation about them never walking or never getting above 5 feet?
That would be everybody over 19.
All I'm just saying is, why is it 90% of those people are nuts?
Yeah, I know.
You know what I mean? Like somebody goes, I got in a moped accident when I was in high school. The doctor said, I start tuning them out. Unless the doctor said you'd be fine.
Unless you're dead.
Yeah. If the doctor, here's where I'm listening. If the doctor said you should put some ice on it and elevate it, now I'm listening. Mm-hmm. But the doctor said I wouldn't make it out of the ninth grade. You know, that kind of, I never listened. Mm-hmm. And there's a small percentage of people who do actually clinically die and then come back.
Yeah.
And I don't know what clinically dying is. Your heart stops.
You have no blood pressure, no pulse, and your brain's not responding.
Right. And then they come back. Handful.
By the way, that's not clinical. Clinical death is you don't come back from clinical death.
Yeah, you're
dead. That's
dead. It's called being
dead. Your brain's gone. This is your heart stopped.
It happened to my grandfather, actually.
Yeah.
He clinically died.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was six years ago.
Yeah.
He may... Well, I'm not counting on anything. I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, no.
He may be coming back. I don't want to jinx it.
So, Jonathan.
Jonathan.
Yes.
Is this multiple sclerosis or some neurodegenerative disease? What are we talking about here?
I really wish I could give you a name for this.
Don't you think it's weird that she's never offered that to you? She's never had a name for it?
The thing is, I know she's very...
Hold on, who is this, Shaggy?
She's very uncomfortable. And Jonathan, no matter how uncomfortable she is, she could offer you one word after, I have a bad illness. The illness's name. That's all she has to do. And it is absurd that you don't know what this thing is. And all you have to do is ask for it. And if she gives you any obfuscation, if she gives you any sort of doesn't answer the question, then it's nothing. Then there's something else going on.
Yeah, we've kind of gone through this. I know she's uncomfortable about talking about it, and she has dropped the name once, but she really doesn't like it, so it's like I don't talk about it. But
all right, what is the name?
I just don't remember.
No, he knows.
It once. I don't really know the title of what it is.
Is it fibromyalgia or something like that?
God, I wish I could.
Hey, listen, he doesn't know.
Yeah.
Jonathan, what college are you going to, by the way?
MU, Missouri. She goes to Stevens College.
Uh-huh. Clayton Stevens College. All right, why... Are you sure she's your girlfriend?
I would probably say that Drew is a little bit more correct in saying that we're dating, but yet we're...
How would she describe the relationship? How would she
Let me say. Jonathan?
Yes.
Who? That's how she would describe the relationship. All right, look, this chick's nutty. Thankfully, you're a little nutty, too. Actually, she's nutty, and you're sort of delusional. Why don't you break up and move on? As a matter of fact, here's let me tell you how easy it is for you to break up with her. All you got to do
call.
Is stop calling her.
Yeah.
Your phone will never ring again.
Yeah.
Ironically, the easiest girls to break up with are the ones you should be breaking up with, which is all Jonathan's got to do is stop going over there and bugging her.
Yeah.
Never hear from her again. Done.
Yeah.
All right, move on, buddy. That's all right.
Yeah, this is not a good relationship. Doesn't
yeah.
sound like.
Yeah. All right. He's a big man on campus over at
MU.
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 We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. Line, I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Oh yeah, a real cold snap in the east, Drew.
Oh yeah,
it's big news over there.
Yeah,
people dying.
Snow.
Really took them by surprise this year. You know.
Yeah.
Normally this time of year, it's what, 70?
85.
Yeah. Oh, low 80s, mid 80s.
Well, never snows.
Sounds like a snow. I like the idea that the weather's news every year. Every year. Hey, guess what? The Eastern Seaboard. It's cold. It's cold out there. They may get some snow. It snowed for like 2 days once.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Northern Plains?
It's colder. Cold.
Windy.
Cold. It's windy out there. It's cold. It's big news.
Let's talk to somebody out there.
The East. It's cold, everybody. Really? This doesn't happen every goddamn year at this time? And then it's like, let me do this too. 48 deaths attributed to the cold. Are these people frozen to their mailbox? Or is just some old-timer that fell asleep and died in their sleep?
Or is it somebody just slipped on the ice and hit their head and stuff like that?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I was telling Jimmy today, look, if it's a death attributed to the cold, we shouldn't find you until the thaw. We should have, there should be no deaths during the winter, and then we'll start the head count right. around spring. Because
right.
that's when we find you in that snowdrift.
That's right.
In your car, you know, frozen. And in the frozen comical position. Like, you've got to be in action position.
Right.
No well, one ever freezes with their eyes closed. You notice that? Eyes wide open.
Well, they were doing what they were doing. You don't walk around with your eyes closed.
I want to see, here's the people. I like mid chop of an axe. Just they pulled back and they froze.
Yeah.
And I don't know all the frozen death things, but these are just retards who are using like hibachis to heat their apartments.
Yeah,
and they die of carbon
people
monoxide
died.
Poisoning.
When I was in training, when people I was trained during a horrible heat wave, one of many we have out here.
Yes.
And you know, I was watching the head count every day in the news, and I had a few of them come in, and they were all people 85 plus, barely making it at home, no family, nobody helping them, and just sort of fell asleep, got dehydrated, and
yeah.
Got pneumonia, and that was that.
You're 88 years old.
Yeah,
you got foil on your windows instead of drapes.
Now we're not saying that it should be taken lightly. It starts to make sense. It sort of sounds much more dramatic.
I'm
when
just
you think
saying
it's
the 48
a,
deaths. What percentage?
But the point
of
is, it's the stories are told.
None
the headlines.
Froze.
The headlines are told as though indeed it was the lumberjack in mid swing.
Yes.
Yeah.
I want to see people who walked out to their mailbox and didn't make it back
right.
because they froze in mid-stride.
Yeah, yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah, reading a letter. That's sorting through mail.
That's right. They froze. And their dog is next to them urinating
with
a frozen, a frozen arch of urine that's still going from the dog's penis to the ground.
Fair enough.
Yes, that's what I'm looking for.
All right.
For. All right. So, cold in the
meantime,
in the east there,
we'll talk to Jen, who is 18.
Hi.
Hi.
So my problem pretty much is, like, I've been dating this guy for a year and a half. Mm-hmm. And, like, the first 6 months of us dating was, like, perfect, you know, when it came to, like, going out and being together, plus, like, the sexual stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, like, now that it's getting towards this point, like, it was a year and a half, like, the 12th of this month.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of... like less interesting.
Hold on. It was a year and a half on the 12th of this month.
Yeah, of January.
And yet, did you hear or feel? I'm not sure what I was tuning into, but there was a dramatic shift in her affect.
Yeah,
and she was like, and then we would think it was wonderful, and then it's a year and a half.
Right,
and
we're just, right. Oh. So, you guys celebrated your year and a half on the 12th.
Yeah.
Did you get my basket?
No.
The cheeses?
Wow.
No.
Wow.
No.
There's something about that.
Oh, goodness.
All right, happened?
Pretty much, it's just like, in the beginning, you know, it's like the sexual thing was interesting between both of us. Like, just as much as he wanted it, I wanted it.
All right.
How often was that?
Huh?
How often was that, beginning?
I mean, at least twice a week. I mean, if time permitted, because, like, between school and work and stuff. But, I mean, when we were together, we could hang out and then do that, too. You know?
Yeah, sure. Very rare, very rare.
We could go on a date.
You go on a date and have sex.
I mean, it may have been because maybe like I was madly in love with him and like very glad.
Yeah, but Jen, you stated it six different ways. You're not into him anymore.
You're done.
You said it five different ways.
Well, no, I.
Yes, you're not. You've got to come to grips with it. And it's so common at your age that you don't, A, realize when a relationship has run its course, and then B, even when you do realize it, don't know how to end it. And listen, your sex drive tells you as much as anything. Your body is telling you you're not into it.
Yeah, I mean, that's what worries me. Because, like, I mean, but the thing is, like, when I still hang out with him now, like, I still feel the same way, like, giddy and, like, happy around him, you know? And, like, I love being around him. And, like, we can just sit there and watch a movie just the same way as we did the first week we started dating.
Yeah.
But, like, he just seems way more interested in the sexual thing. And I don't know if that's, like, what's making me not want to. Because, like, the more he brings it up, the more I'm just, like, stop bringing it up. Like, give me a chance to, like, make the move on you. I don't know if, like, that's what it is.
Yeah, women do get that way, where they're feeling, like, exploited and sort of intruded upon. And it's
yeah.
How often do you?
Well, lately it's been, like, maybe once a month. I mean, and I do work a lot. Like, I mean, I work, like, 7 days a week, and then he goes to school every morning, and I work every morning. And it's like, I mean, so we try to get together at night, but then, like, for some reason something won't work, or... I mean, and then when we do hang out, it's like, I'm like, well, let's watch a movie. I'm really tired. I had a long day, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then he'll be like, well, can't we do both?
All right. I don't know. It feels like the thing's run its course.
Yeah, I understand you care about him a great deal, and it's always a very special feeling, that first love relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you even still have more than, again, your body's telling you have. But you're interested in other things.
Are you looking at other guys?
No, and that's the thing that worries me. Like, I'm not, like, I mean, I'm not. And I'm thinking, like, well, if I'm not interested in him, you know, should I be interested in somebody else? I mean, I'm a server at a restaurant, so I work around lots of guys that are not bad looking, but they're not him, you know what I mean? And that's what worries me.
I know you guys switched it from waiter and waitress to server. Server, worse.
Yeah.
Worse. You, serve me.
Yeah.
Serve me, my grub.
What's servant? It's a derivative.
Yeah, it's not a... I understand the move from cockpit to flight deck.
Yeah.
Cockpit sounds like a gay bar. And flight deck sounds like a bunch of good-looking NASA guys loosening their ties up and making important decisions with coffee mugs. That sounds much better. Waitress to server.
Whatever.
That's a bad idea.
Yeah, I know.
Bad plan.
Anyway, Jen, just keep your eyes open. You may want to wrap this thing. I mean, you're 18. It's supposed to happen. It may even be just, it's almost a protective thing your body naturally does, your emotions are doing, that is. And that is not going on forever in this relationship. Getting on, figuring out who you are, dating other people. It's an important thing to do.
I am... I'm not a special needs person. I'm a tardo. That's what it is. It's going from sort of bad to horrible. Just do better. Server. It sounds like you get like a like you should be cupping my nuts while I'm eating too. Could you cut my nuts? Hey, server, cut this meat up for me and then feed it to me. No, better yet, chew it up, spit it in my mouth. Thank you. Rub my feet, please. Waitress. All right. Waiter. What's wrong with waitress and waiter? And why is the female version of it bad, but the male isn't? You know what I mean? Waiter's no big deal, but waitress, please. We're going to call them waitress.
Yeah.
You know, steward. Oh, that's fine. Stewardess. Come on. It's demeaning. Yeah. I mean, why? Just because you got a set of boobs that's demeaning? Because we saw a difference between the male and female version of the word? You know what I mean? Yeah. Steward, no problem. Waiter, no fun.
Once
no
again,
problem. Waitress, stewardess, demeaning.
One thing that concerns me is when you don't allow for clear-cut feminine terms, that should be demeaning. That you're eradicating things that identify the specific and empower that.
Yeah, pissed off lesbians. I mean, let's face it. I just like it when groups screw themselves.
I don't like that.
I think it's funny. John?
Hey, how's it going, man?
25, what's going on?
About 3 months, actually, there's two different things. About 3 months ago, I started to get, I went online and found out that I have psoriasis on my head.
What do you mean you went online? You found it? I would have trouble making a diagnosis of psoriasis. You have no business even trying to.
The heartbreak of psoriasis.
Psoriasis is basically go ahead. What's the question? You don't have psoriasis,
anyway,
I bet.
I put my symptoms in or whatever and on this online dig, and it had told me that it seems that I had psoriasis or whatever.
No, you don't have psoriasis.
How do you know?
Because he has seborrhea, because that's what occurs on the head.
Mm. What is it?
Seborrhea.
Oh, the heartbreak of seborrhea.
Yeah, you have seborrhea, of course. Psoriasis occurs on extensor surfaces. It occurs in your knees, elbows, places like that. And if you have it on top of your head, you have it 10 other places, too.
It's on your joints, right? It's like on the outside,
it's
too.
It's on the extensor surface. It starts on the elbows and knees and that sort of
thing.
Why?
What, the
part? I don't have anything anywhere else.
Right, so it's seborrhea. And it's oily scales. And that's psoriasis. That's seborrhea. That's seborrhea.
Right. It starts flaking like really, really badly and starts scaling up.
Yes.
My question about that is that it's starting to spread like farther down on my forehead and such.
Yes.
And I was just wondering
gets into your eyelashes and into the folds in your nose here.
Yay.
That's typical seborrhea distribution.
Bad time.
Are you on any medication?
No, I haven't. The only thing I've done is my uncle's a doctor, so I asked him about it, and he said that it might be some chemicals from work, but there's no way that it is that.
And you're on no medication or vitamins or anything?
Not yet. I've been using like.
I don't mean to treat it. I mean, are you on anything chronically? Anything?
No, not at all.
Calm
down, just frustrated.
All right.
Okay, I'm waking up though. It's good.
Yeah. Back to bed.
No. So, John, there's tons of treatments for seborrhea. Tons. You need to see a dermatologist.
Hold on. Your uncle, the doctor,
didn't look at it. Did he see it?
Yeah, he looked at it.
It's seborrhea.
Sure.
And he said it was seborrhea.
No, he just told me that it was. He told me that it looked like it was. that it looked like it was. I forgot the name of it now.
Oh, please!
Boy, everybody with the S word tonight. Anyway, on the board
the
here,
S-word.
It says he has a concern that's going to go from his head to his genitalia.
Yeah.
And you can't these are not infectious diseases. Mm-hmm. You can't transmit them. They can't occur down there.
Yeah.
Like your psoriasis can. But
it used to be I don't know if it was like Head and Shoulders or Hagrin or something.
There's tons of stuff. There's steroid creams and there's a bunch of stuff. You need to see a dermatologist.
All right, but what about that dandruff shampoo?
Yeah.
It does? It takes care of that?
Well, it's selenium-based shampoos are good. The Selsun.
You know what a lazy F I am?
Yes, I know.
Let me tell you how lazy I am.
Pray tell.
I don't really use shampoo too often.
Really? You use just a bar? Just rub a bar on your head?
No, I don't use anything.
Oh, my God.
I just let the water run on me. Yes. It's good enough. Hot water a couple times a week, you know.
Ugh.
Feeling pretty good about that. Not a smelly guy. Mm. Don't seem to need to lather up every 5 minutes.
Fantastic.
So, I shower downstairs and... for some reason, the only shampoo that was available, like just sitting in the shower, was dandruff shampoo.
Mm-hmm.
I have no idea who it is, how it got in the house. I never bought it.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it was doing in there.
Okay.
But there it was.
Right.
And it's the only thing around. So I used dandruff shampoo for about a year.
Okay.
Because
it was there.
Because it was there.
Yeah.
And it's not good for your hair, so I hear. I don't know. I have no dandruff. I just decided to use it. I mean, here's what I'm saying. I'm that lazy. That I used a medicated shampoo.
Fits.
I had no idea what its origins were, just because it was there. I was too goddamn lazy to go down the hill and buy anything.
Fits.
Yeah, that's me.
That's you, yeah.
And by the way, not a big shampoo guy. A little hot water in the hair.
Crazy.
You what? You lather up every time?
Every time.
Really?
Yeah.
How many times? What do? Take a shower once a day?
I sometimes, if I work out, I'll do it again. I sweat when I work out.
What about these jack-offs who get up in the morning, take a shower, and then go do something like construction or something, or go to the gym or something. And they're like, yeah, I take a shower in the morning. It's like, You take a shower, but you're pouring concrete all day out in the sun. Yeah, yeah. Don't you just take a shower when you get home? All right, not you. But you use shampoo, huh? Not me. Although when I do, I put a little extra dollop for downstairs.
That's nice.
That's my thing.
Do you for the hair downstairs or for what you do to yourself downstairs?
No, I'm not a lube man.
Okay.
I don't beat in the shower.
Okay.
That's off limits.
Okay.
Actually, no, it's not really. I thought about that.
Anywhere is off limits for you.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. It's on, as long as the shower's on the planet, right?
Yeah.
Dylan?
Yes.
You're 24?
Yes, I am, sir.
What's up?
Well, you know, I've been listening to you guys for quite some time over the last, you know, so many years, but I would say in the last, I don't know, 3 months or so, in regards to you guys dealing with relationships, you seem to be real, well, negative and quick to just, like, drop the situation and leave.
True.
I'm wondering why that is. In the past, there used to be, Dr. Drew especially, would kind of give constructive criticism or...
Here's what goes on. Drew, stop me if you disagree.
Okay.
We like to find out, A, if there's kids involved.
Yeah.
Okay.
If there's kids involved...
Then you find a way to solve it.
We usually make a plea that they get some therapy or do something like that. And then the second step is if they're married.
Yeah.
Or both. But if they're married, all right, try to fix this thing up.
Yeah.
We're talking a lot of 17, 18, 19-year-olds who've been in relationships for a year or two, and it clearly sounds like it's run its course. Actually, two scenarios. We've had them tonight, which is I'm 21. I've been with this person since my junior year of high school, and we seem like we're just friends now. Right. I don't really.
No, we're fighting a lot,
or whatever. That's you've been together for 3.5 years. Break up.
Yeah,
we know more than you do. We wish someone would have told us to do that when we were that age.
Right.
All right. The other one is you know, we want to have a threesome. Weird, you know, weird addict codependency, screwed up. You know, the only reason they're together is because they're both effed up, just effed up enough to be attracted.
Right.
To each other. And and here's why. Because what you need to do when you're 21 and you're effed up is not just sit with another person in a ball of your own filth and be effed up together. You need to be alone.
Right.
You need some therapy. You need to do things. You need to strike out on your own.
Because a dysfunctional relationship keeps you stuck.
Right.
It's going to make sure you stay right where you are.
It's hard to progress when you're... when there's somebody as nutty as you and you guys are humping.
Yeah.
But a third scenario that also came up tonight, and though not the perfect scenario to deal with, is the case of that guy who called in and his quote-unquote girlfriend was mystery sickness.
Yeah, we just couldn't crack that one.
Yeah, well, we told him to move on, And we told him to move on because he didn't have a relationship.
Yeah, he was delusional about what the relationship was.
Yeah, it wasn't a perfect example. But, you know, something where he did sound like he was interested and really caring. You could tell him to say, yeah, go for it.
There's a difference between sort of caring and obsessing.
Yeah, he's a stalker, basically.
Well.
Okay. I mean, basically, that's where that was going.
Here's the thing. Let me say this. We hear millions of calls a year, and we only have a short period of time to discuss these calls because I have to talk about my personal life and my family and things that are troubling me and affecting me, Adam Carolla, personally. So we have a very brief period of time for you guys.
Okay.
2-hour show we may dedicate.
8 minutes of them.
Ooh.
Yeah, on a good night.
On a good night, yeah. I'd say more in the 4 to 5 minute range. Okay.
I don't mean per call.
Yeah. No, I mean overall, combined.
Yeah.
So we do. Seriously, we hear people. We hear the tone of the voice. Yeah. We hear their rap. We hear their story. We know what we're looking for. Certain things. Right. You know, she's my girlfriend. Really? Have you ever had sex with her? Well, no.
Again, as soon as they start dancing.
Right.
Then immediately you know that they're not telling you the whole truth.
Well,
there's a problem.
Is she your girlfriend? Well, we're dating.
Yeah, she's never dated before. She had a boyfriend. Never dated.
Right, right. So we hear a few things and we make a snap judgment. And we stand by those.
And maybe, you know, because I deal with addicts, alcoholics all day, and I'm so used to calling people in their BS. So used to it. that it's very quick and easy to dig through BS. It really is.
All right.
And, you know, if that sounds harsh, it's important to get people to reality. Listen, all mental health is dealing with reality on reality's terms. Yes. That's it. That's mental health. Accepting reality and coping with it.
All right.
We got to go break, huh?
No.
Yeah.
Jessica.
Yeah.
Got to help the kids. You're 18?
Yeah.
What's happening?
I'm a little abusive to my boyfriends, and it's starting to really affect the relationships.
Mm-hmm.
Boyfriends?
Well, in the past.
Happened with more than one guy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you learn that? What kind of violence were you exposed to growing up?
Not really a lot. When I was young, like really, really young, my dad, I guess, you know, he disciplined us or whatever, but I don't remember.
Yeah. Okay, but that has the most profound effect on you.
Well, how did he discipline you?
Well, like spankings, you know, stuff like that.
Physical mm-hmm. abuse.
Uh-huh.
And that leaves profound imprints on your development and your brain, even though you might not even have... It's sort of a classic sort of pattern where people forget or push it aside or have dealt with it.
Yeah.
And they don't have any explicit memories, but they have implicit memories.
You know,
it's left its mark, a footprint on your brain function.
You know, I'm going to discipline my kid with compressed air.
So like
it doesn't leave a mark. Yeah, like...
Get off the couch.
No, I mean, like I got like a 30-gallon compressor.
I've seen
it. Runs off a 220. I think fires up. It hits you if the blast, maybe 120 PSI.
Oh,
and just, you know, I mean, dry their eyes out, mess their hair up, flap their cheeks around, give them a shot up a nostril, hit them in the ass with it. And it never any marks. Never leave a mark. And then they're going to try to tell you, my daddy blows on me. And then, okay, listen, be quiet, kid. There's no problem. No black eye, no nothing. Well, does he hit you? No. Well, does he ever touch you or strike you?
He blows wind.
He blows wind. They're going to think I'm farting.
Yeah.
Compressed air. That's the way to discipline. That, Jessica.
Yeah.
So Jessica, this is where that comes from.
Don't you wish your dad had disciplined you with compressed air instead of a belt?
Well, it's still like he said it'd be implicit. You know, even though I don't have marks from him hitting me, it's still inside of me, right?
Right.
Right. But don't you wish you'd use compressed air instead of the belt?
Yeah, because it probably wouldn't have hurt.
Yeah, just you know, dry you up a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, it's one reason I was thinking, well, what I thought it was because when I was 11, I was raped.
Yeah, well, the physical abuse is what sets you up to be a victim.
Who raped you when you were 11?
Just some guy I didn't know.
Really?
And why did you freeze? Why didn't you fight it off?
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. I was with two other friends, and mm-hmm. he had a gun.
Really?
Oof. Yeah.
Where were you?
We were walking to a store.
Wow.
And he was sitting down there or whatever, and then he forced us to go back there. Like, he had the gun hidden in, like, a cardboard box. And then when we walked past, he was like, oh, you know, brings up the gun, and he's like, hey, walk back there.
And where'd you walk to?
It was behind the buildings, you know, where they get their shipments, where they take out their trash.
Huh? Just during the day?
Yeah, during the day.
And what were what'd your other two friends do?
What were we supposed to do?
Did they just watch while this happened? Did they scream?
I don't mean why didn't they give the guy a karate chop? I just mean, where were they? Did they have to go with you?
Did they watch?
We were all walking together.
Did they sit and watch
I know
this?
You were all walking together, but when he brandished the box, did he say all three of you back here?
Yeah.
All right. Don't get snooty about it. I'm just trying to figure out if you got raped. That's what I'm saying.
And the other two didn't?
One other girl did.
All right. So, wow.
Oh, my God. And this is a business hours, daylight in the city?
It was about 5:30, I think.
Nope. Nobody ever came around or anything, huh?
Not behind there, really.
And so what happened then when he left?
When he left, really stupid. What he raped us in was one of those big recycling bins. Not really a bin, but, you know, the big ones that you can use for trucks and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
In one of those. It was cardboard boxes.
Right.
And then so when we came out of there, he told us to wait there for 10 minutes.
Right.
And he walked one way, and as soon as he went past the building, we ran mm-hmm. the other way.
Of course.
All right. Well, that's good. And then who'd you talk to?
We went into a store and told them that we'd gotten raped, so they called the police and all that.
And did they ever find the guy?
Yeah, actually, the guy that it was, he had come to our house a day before asking about my brother's motorcycle, if it was for sale and stuff, and he wasn't there, and so he left. And then 2 days after we were raped, we were all at my house, and he came to my house to inquire about it again.
Oh my God.
And my dad had answered the door because, like, detectives and all that, you know.
That must have been some nice bike.
Not really, but. Oh.
But, yeah. But again, you need to have treatment for these traumas.
Wait a minute. Yeah, you do. But so your dad answered the door, and what happened?
Two of my friends were standing. The two other girls that were with me when it happened, we had been together, like, the whole week, you know.
Right.
Because, you know, whatever. And they were behind him, and I was walking down the hallway, and they saw him. They said, "That's him." And he took off running, and my dad chased him and tackled him across the street.
Wow.
And my aunt was there, you know, after she had heard what happened. She came down, and then she called the cops while my dad held him.
Wow. All right, so is he in jail now?
Actually, I don't know.
All right. Did he turn out to be like a weird homeless nutty guy, or was he like a regular rapist guy?
No, he was 15.
15?
Kid. He lived a street down from us.
Eesh.
And,
wow, yeah. There goes the neighborhood. Well, ooh, look, therapy, horrible. Baby doll, for that horrible experience.
Yeah, no wonder you have trouble containing aggression.
Did he ever have a gun, by the way?
Did he ever have a gun?
Did he actually have a gun?
Yeah.
He did. He showed it to you.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Wow. All right. Yeah. Yeah, all right, baby doll. I'm putting some things together. Tackling dad, motorcycle.
Neighborhood.
Brother. I'm starting to get sort of like biker, white trash, sort of mask type thing. Maybe a little speed floating around, some violence, some chaos. Hmm? That's what we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Okay. But let me tell you about the abusive dad. He may be kicking your ass one day. Next day, he's kicking the 15-year-old rapist ass.
That's good.
A good dad. Yeah. My dad never beat me, but believe me, Jack the Ripper could have showed up at the. He would have given him $5 to have a nice day. Dad, go get him. That would involve joint movement. Now I got to sit down and read. What would your dad have done, Drew? Would he gone after him?
I don't know. I imagine.
Really? Yeah. My dad wouldn't have moved. Never. Not 1,000,000,000 years. Puss. I don't know if you know that.
I've heard say.
100% pussy. Maybe 110%. Puss. Let me tell you something. Anybody kick my dad's ass. Wheelchair bound, doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your disability is. You put a smack down on my dad. All right, let's take a break, buddy.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
All right. Here we go. We'll be right back after this. Bloodline of Adam.
Adam's a little gassy tonight, too.
A little fart fly there. 1-800-LOVE-191 is the phone number. There's Dr. Drew. I'm Adam. Dear black friend. David Allen Greer. Dags, I call him. He's also known as my main man.
Nice.
In here tomorrow night.
And you'll be on the corporate jet.
Yes, I'll be heading to Houston with Jimmy on some like ABC corporate jet, or maybe it's a Disney thing. I don't know, but looking forward to that. And you guys can look forward to DAG tomorrow night. All right, ready to go here, there, buddy?
Yeah, let's go.
All right. Michael?
Yeah.
You're
19? Yep.
Ugh.
What's up?
Drew, you know, I ate a bowl of cereal for dinner, and that's it. It's kicking in.
Oh, that's right. You get farts from dried fruit and cereal, don't you?
Yeah. You know what this thing was? It was like oat bran with the dried cherries in it. Yeah.
Nice.
You give me the dried fruit and the raisins and stuff. And you mix it with the bran and the milk. That's me. All right. Go ahead, Michael.
I just got circumcised like a year ago.
Yeah.
And before I got circumcised, I was like 20, 25, 30 minute guy. Now it's like 5-10 minutes. If that
So you ejaculate more quickly.
Right, when I have sex.
Are you having sex more often or less often?
I think I started having it more often after I became circumcised.
All right, and that may be why you're not last.
No. Here's what's happening. The sensitivity is greater
no.
because... Oh, hey, listen. Sure, I know what I'm talking about.
That's been studied. It has no really. I know that the skin is not as thick and the.
Drew, let me circumcise.
First
off, when are you going to learn that I know everything?
All right, go ahead.
And that you should never ever argue.
Go ahead. Let's hear it. Go ahead.
Okay. All right. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
A nice fart fly because Drew wanted to hear one. Is that what you're talking about? No, no. Nothing better than when a fart can be sort of worked into a relation, worked into a conversation. You want to hear it? Okay, I'll hear it. That's great. You should be in here, Michael. It's very funny. Here's the theory. Here's my theory. The when you're circumcised, your head, head of your penis, that is, or uncircumcised, I should say, is more sensitive.
Right.
More sensitive. And I don't know when you had sex. Now, when you had sex before and you were uncircumcised, did the skin pull back?
Did it pull back?
Yeah, when you had sex.
Yeah.
This is bogus.
When
you picking up on that?
Yeah.
When I'd erect and the skin would pull back, you know, it'd actually get bigger, you know, so the skin would go back. So,
yeah. Okay, smart guy.
Yeah. How much did the circumcision cost?
It was under my parents' insurance. So.
Why?
Why?
Yeah. Could,
what was the medical indication for it? It's an elective procedure. What?
Oh, went in. I went to the doctor, told him I wanted it done because,
And the insurance paid for it?
Yeah, the insurance paid for it. They put it under medical problems or something like that.
Yeah, what medical problem, what medical necessity did they say it was?
I don't know. The doctor just wrote it up and he said I think he said it was like a peeing problem or something.
All right. Okay. Here's my theory. The head of your penis is more sensitive than guys who've had their head of their penis whacking against the side of their pants since 3 months of age.
Right.
And maybe that extra sensitivity is what's causing the gun to go off a little too fast. But here's the thing. It'll numb up, for lack of a better term. It'll acclimate to its
actually
new
been
environment.
Studied. It's actually been studied. And even though there's this difference in the thickness of the skin at the head of the penis, it has no effect on performance. It has been studied.
No. It's much more sensitive.
But it doesn't affect performance.
Well, I don't know how more sensitive.
The one you put a condom on.
Put a condom on. What are you asking?
Because it won't make any difference.
Listen, Drew, I know more about this than you do.
Right.
You're coming at it with your angles. I understand. That's
no.
That's
just they would say finally studied it, and it showed. There's always been this. Oh, it's the sensitivity. Also, in fact, I think I have the article here.
Well, listen, being more sensitive, they're saying it doesn't make any difference in the time.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, but you're used to what you have. That's my argument, right. Nicole. He dramatically changed the lifestyle of his penis, and that's going to affect things in bed for a while.
Right.
I imagine it'll even out at some point,
yes.
Wouldn't you?
Perhaps.
And he'll go back to wherever he was.
Yes. Okay. And I'm saying there may be something else, some other factor here that's figuring into all this.
All right. Okay. Nicole?
Nicole?
What happened to Nicole? Nicole?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, I'll try another call. Wait a minute, is there another Nicole under this Nicole?
Yeah.
Let's go to Tristan.
Maybe it's not Nicole.
Tristan?
Yes.
You're 19?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I guess I was just curious to know where the line is between, like, healthy sexual exploration and dysfunctional
consequences. It's all based on consequences.
All right. That's a good answer. Anything bad happening? Yeah, like, look, you get on the internet, have some sex with some transvestite he/she, and they stab you with a coat hanger.
That's a problem.
That's a consequence. You make out with some dude at a party who you always had a crush on, and it's no big deal.
Okay.
So what are you doing?
Well, I just have a couple of friends who are concerned about me, but I...
Well, what are you doing? And by the way, what are you doing means what are you doing? Not what are your friends that are concerned about you.
Basically, I don't even know if I would call it dating. Basically, sleeping with somebody who is about 12 years older than me, and
mm-hmm.
he lives with his girlfriend.
Ooh. By the way, that's huevos, these guys that are living with a chick and banging some crazy 19-year-old who could just have a couple of wine coolers and come on by anytime.
Brave, too.
Yeah. Do you have his home phone number and stuff?
Well, she actually caught us, kind of. She found my phone number on his phone bill and called my house, and he
yeah.
was in the third degree, and all of our friends the third degree, and
yeah.
he lied his way out of it.
You know the part I like? I like the part where the girl says, hey, I found this phone number. Why don't you call it up and I'll get on the other line? Oh, listen, I'm not doing anything with her, but I'm not, you know. I always like the nothing's going on, this is nothing, but I'm not going to do whatever you're asking me to do.
Right.
By the way, most diabolical thing ever, that sort of, you call this person, I'll pick up the other line. And don't mention anything.
That I'm listening.
Listen, see how that goes. And the person's always like, "Huh, I'm not doing anything, but I'll never do that."
Yeah,
these are the
guilty as hell.
These are the super guilty people. Are like they're innocent. I'm just not taking a lie detector test.
Right.
That's not my kid. But I'm not going to take a paternity test.
Right.
Yeah. That's all right. Tristan. Yeah. So what happened?
Well, she thought I was a friend of his that's actually a mutual friend of ours. His name is Jason. Because every time I would call and he was with her, he would call me Jason. And I just knew he was with her, and I'd be like, all right, well, call me back whenever you get a chance. And
right.
So, but I mean, this has been going on since September.
Well, this has nothing to do with exploration. This is a very seriously disturbed relationship.
So when
and you have to have an unavailable guy, you're stalking an unavailable guy.
What did she say when the girlfriend called, though?
She asked if Jason was there, and I told her he wasn't home. And then he started in lies about how I lived with him. And then he actually, our friend, had no idea that we were even fooling around.
The Jason.
Right. Mm-hmm. He didn't even know we, like, talked ever. Mm-hmm. And so she called him and questioned him.
All right,
him.
Well, let's get with the
all right, so
problem.
She questioned him and busted you guys?
Yeah, but so I basically at that point was like, all right, well, it's over. And then about 4 days after that, he called me and was like, well, I miss you. I want to come see you. I was like, all right.
And he's a sociopath. Why?
It's a light.
Yeah, why would you put up with this?
Because it's more comfortable for me to be in a very non-committed relationship.
Non-threatening relationship.
Right, a relationship where you can't actually have the guy.
What does this guy do? Does he sell something or is he in the restaurant business?
He's actually a tattoo artist.
Oh. Yeah, that's bad times. Selling ink. All right, Tristan, what happened? Your dad split?
No, actually, me and my dad have a very good relationship. I knew you guys were going to bring that up.
Nobody cheated?
In my family?
Yeah.
Not with my parents, no.
No? All right.
I mean, the rest of my family is completely screwed, but, like, my immediate family is actually pretty normal.
What do you mean the rest of your family? What happened?
I just mean extended family.
I have, an alcoholic uncle, an Episcopalian pastor uncle, a gay uncle.
Right. And nobody abused you or anything going on?
No.
Yeah. Then, look, you're 19. You're looking for cheap thrills. That's it. I mean, look, you're growing out of the bad boy in the dangerous situation age as a woman. This is... If there was no abuse and your dad's still around and nobody cheated on anybody, what's the problem, Drew?
These are your biological parents?
Yes.
And your mom's okay?
Well, recently my mom was sick, but
with what?
She's okay now.
What's up with her?
My senior year of high school, she came down with colon cancer.
Oof. So maybe this is some sort of attempt to manage all those feelings.
Senior year of high school, she's old.
I mean, because right after that, I moved... Like, right after she had her surgeries, I moved to Florida.
All right. If she didn't take a three count between every goddamn syllable, I'd stay with this.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's way too long.
Anyway,
who cares?
So she needs to stop. She needs to cut this out.
Yeah.
This is some sort of a short-term reaction to all the stuff she's been dealing with and part of being 19 to 22. Cut it out.
Well, we've talked about this a million times, which is... were you abused? Was there cheating? Was there physical abuse, sexual abuse, alcohol abuse? No. Good, then stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, then she can do that.
Oh, man, you're, it's you're really, going to town. It's starting to percolate.
Woo!
There's nothing there.
Not yet.
There's no pop.
All right.
Well, it's a little bit.
No, let's bit. Go. Let's go. Break.
A little bit. A little bit. Nothing. No.
Break.
A little bit. Let's
break.
See. All right. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. 1-800-LOVE-191. All right, Drew, let's rock, baby.
Here we go.
What do you say now?
Yeah.
Let's get going now.
Go. Come on.
Let's go now, buddy.
Come on.
Let's go now. Hey, get a hand in here, buddy. Grab a knee. Everyone
and
grab a knee. Break down. Let's go. Don't sit on your helmet now. It's not a chair. Yeah. Well, unfunny coaches and PE coaches and stuff were.
Oh, yeah.
And a big laugh. Come on, ladies. Come on, gentlemen. And I use that term loosely. It's like, wow. See, all you had to have is like just, if you're in sports and you have just this much, just a modicum of a sense of humor, it's like, oh, this guy's hysterical, man. He is funny. Chris?
Yeah.
What's happening?
How's it going?
You're 20.
Yeah.
Let's get a hand in, buddy. Let's go now.
Okay.
Let's go. Break it down. Let's go.
I'm trying here. I've been having sex since I was 14.
All right now. That's what I like.
That's
yeah.
Great. But I've had six partners for the first six partners, yeah. And I never used a condom with them.
Never, okay now. Never condom.
Why not?
I was dumb, you know? Mm-hmm.
Stupid now. All right now. I like that. Self-deprecating.
I was in high school, and every time I had it, it was just spur of the moment.
Yeah.
That's right. Spontaneity.
And during the whole time, I was wearing, like, briefs. And then my recent girlfriend...
Ball nuggers, yeah!
Seriously. And then last summer, I started wearing boxers, and I got a girlfriend, and we had sex, and then she got pregnant.
All right, knocked her up now. Let's go now. Get a ball in.
Okay, well, my question is she kind of brought to my attention the fact that the boxers, like, increase the sperm count, or my briefs reduce
nothing
the sperm count.
To do with anything.
And that kind of made sense to me, and I was wondering if that's actually science.
Made sense to an idiot.
Yeah, there has occasionally been some suspicion that...
Neither here nor there.
Yeah, it probably doesn't make a damn bit of difference.
What was that?
Probably doesn't make any difference.
No difference.
Okay, so coincidence, then?
I think so.
That's right, buddy.
All right, thanks.
All right, buddy, let's go now. Thank you. Thanks for calling in. All right, come on, gather around. Break it down. Get a hand in now. Grab a knee. Let's go now. Let's talk it up. Let's chat it up. Who you want to go, Drew? Five?
Five, let's go.
Who's on five? You don't know. I don't see anything on five.
I know, but I want to go to five.
Why?
Because nothing is better than everything else up there.
All right, buddy, let's go. Let's punch five. Who's up now?
Matt.
Matt, what do you say there, buddy? How old are you?
I am 32.
32 years age. What can we do you for tonight, buddy?
Well, I've got a question for you, Adam, and a question for Drew. My question.
Get
for
a hand
Drew,
in now. Come on, break it down. Grab a knee now.
I'm a philosophy professor, and I got
philosophy
a paper from a student having to do with worries about the government and worries about law.
Looking out for the man.
They're becoming
psychotic.
Paranoid.
Yeah, yeah.
Second gunman on the grassy knoll.
I seem to recall you're saying something about long-term speed or mass abuse.
Not long-term. You get paranoid very quickly. And the paranoids are always not so much about the government. They're focused on friends, families, coworkers, that sort of thing. How old is this kid?
Hitting the meth pipe.
I don't know.
Well, a student-age person who starts to have paranoia is generalized. It's schizophrenia or bipolar mania.
Yeah.
Usually.
Okay. Adam, my question for you, it's a rambling question.
Talking about rambling, subject I know well. Get a hand in now. Got a ramble from the devil ladies.
In the Allman Brothers song, the Ramblin' Man was born in the back of a Greyhound bus driving down Highway 41, right?
Yeah.
So it stands to reason that the best rambling states would be the states through which Highway 41 runs.
He doesn't specify inter or intrastate.
On the 41?
Yeah.
No. There's one Highway 41 in the United States. It starts up on Lake Superior and it ends down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Interstate 41, but there may be Intrastate 41s out there.
There's Highway 41, which is like Highway 41.
Rolling down Highway 41. It's highway. That's what he's talking about.
Yes.
Yeah, it doesn't say I-41.
Yeah.
All right, but anyway.
Highway 41.
Let the professor finish his rambling thesis. Go ahead.
Okay. So the Highway 41goes through the following states.
Mm-hmm.
Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
Good rambling state.
Indiana.
Good rambling state. Good rambling state.
Yeah. Kentucky, Indiana, strong.
Kentucky,
strong.
Alabama.
Tennessee. Doesn't get much better than Tennessee for rambling.
No, Georgia.
Georgia. Only thing better
Florida.
Than Georgia. Florida, good rambling.
Those are rambling states. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's true. That's absolutely true.
Well done.
Nice work, Matt.
That's
fantastic.
What kind of philosophy are you focused on, Matt?
Rambling.
I do religion, metaphysics, mind.
Ooh, interesting.
Nice. Where do you teach?
UCLA.
No, bad rambling school.
It must be very interesting. The neuroscience stuff there of mind is the best in the nation.
A lot of Asians there. Not a rambling people. Not a rambling. They don't ramble.
Okay.
Asians can't ramble.
We gotta go.
I don't know.
Unless they go down Highway 41, then they ramble.
They cannot ramble. They have a gene in them that doesn't let them prevents them from rambling.
There you go.
Bad rambling race. All right. Take a little break. We'll be right back. Well, y'all, that's the show. You can look forward to the great David Dag Allen, main man, Greer.
Yeah.
In tomorrow night.
It's going to be a good time.
All right. Woo! And Aisha Tyler next week.
Jeff Probst.
Yeah. Looking forward to him and many others. So, until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Ingold. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.